Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Welcome to this episode of E-Ticket to Broadway. I'm so happy you've chosen to listen. Now, please pull on the yellow strap on your seatbelt to make sure you're safe and ready to go. Before we get started, I'd love to take a moment to give a public thank you to our new supporters on Patreon. A reminder, these wonderful humans appreciate these episodes so much and care so much about making the world a better place and supporting Gilana's Fund that they have opened their hearts and their wallets to join the E-Ticket to Broadway family. Thank you to E-Ticket member Angela K. from California, C-Ticket members Mark A. from New York, Megan B. from Florida, and Nadia S. from Michigan. Please give them a round of applause. There are fun perks at each level of giving, including Instagram posts, behind-the-scenes access, and, for our exclusive E-Ticket members, an on-air interview during one of the episodes, like this chat with Katie B. Katie, thank you so much for your support. This is so much fun. Let's talk about Disney parks, which is something you love, right?
I love the parks. Everything Disney.
If you could live at the parks, do you think you would do that?
100%. As long as, I mean, the suite and Cinderella Castle, like, that's the goal. That's, like, give it to me now. Well, I'll just stay there for the rest of time.
Yeah, you'll be happy. Just have some coffee looking out over the Magic Kingdom and the sunrise.
You know, no big deal. Just live in a castle. Yeah, you know.
What are some of your earliest memories of going to the Disney parks?
Well, you know how you have, like, the kid, I don't know what kind of memories they call them, but you kind of remember something that sticks with you, but you don't really know if it's other people like who told you over the years or if it's sensory memory or something. But I definitely remember like probably a two-year-old me standing on Main Street USA at Disneyland, actually not World, because I went to Disneyland first, and I remember the view and just like looking at the castle. And then I like fast forward 20 years because I didn't go to Disneyland again after that, but that always stayed with me. And I remember like, just like it comes into my dreams sometimes still, like still now. But it's so cool to, you know, have that. And like, why do I remember that? Why is, you know, I was so young, but somehow just the lights of Main Street USA and the buildings and the castle. And it's just like, this is home and it sticks with you.
Do you have a favorite Disney character?
Tinkerbell.
Okay.
Always and forever.
She's sassy.
She's sassy. She's fierce. And I love her.
I mean, like, because she causes a lot of drama in Neverland. Is that okay with you?
Not always. I would say that sometimes she, you know, is a little too mischievous. But then also those Lost Boys need to, like, get it together sometimes. I mean, like...
I agree, but who told the Lost Boys to shoot down the girl?
Well, that's true. She did do that. So that's true.
Yeah, one person's mischievousness.
Bad mark on her record, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
But it's okay because she saves Peter from the bomb. You know, she's got some good stuff going for her. But yeah. That's after she almost betrayed him. I mean,
it's true.
I need you to sit down with Tink and be like, let's talk.
We need to discuss, you know, That's very true. I've never really thought about it that way, but it's definitely a very good point.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry. Please continue to love her. No. And what's crazy is like when you watch, like when Tink's in the park, either flying over the castle or in the parade, she's so happy and waving and lovely. But you're like, listen, I saw your movie.
That's true.
Are you going to stab me in the back?
She becomes, I think that the Tinkerbell that has, you know, the TV shows and, you know, where they went with her, I think her, the character, I guess, like, did become, like, a lot more of the, like, happy, the this and that. And I sometimes I think we do kind of forget the, you know, the darker side.
Well, this is a question, and this is not where I expected this interview to go, but let's do this. When we go to the parks and meet the characters, sometimes we meet them where they're at the beginning of the movie, halfway mm-hmm. through the movie, or at the end. Like, mm-hmm. when we see the Beast, he's still a beast.
Yeah.
So like in that sense, he hasn't learned that tale as old as time.
That is very true.
That's terrible.
No, it's true.
No, I just like said a lyric. It doesn't grammatically make sense.
No, I'm with you. I get you. But no, that's very true.
Like when you see Aladdin in the parks and he's like in his vest and like his street clothes, has he already become a prince?
And then he just decided to, that's a very good point. Also Ariel as mermaid form and Ariel as their inner human.
So like we're not consistent, are we?
Very, very true.
Do you ever go up to Ariel and say like, hey, I know what's going to happen to you?
I probably did as a kid. I'm not gonna lie.
Talk to me more. You were a cast member at Walt Disney World and you worked on the Haunted Mansion, yeah?
Yep, I worked at the Haunted Mansion. I did the college program and I was there for 9 months.
Did you have a favorite job on that ride?
I was actually very good at greeter because no strollers got by me. I like went New York on them. I was like, great, cool. I was like New York stage manager. You like lines this way, keep moving, you stroller, go park it. So I loved doing that. And also in the portrait galleries, I have to say my way of getting through the shifts was to find someone to scare. And I would always pick, you know, the person who's like, oh, this is going to be stupid. You know, the person, because there's always someone who wasn't taking it seriously. And then when it goes dark, when you look up at the screen, I would move around and I would move right behind them. And then as soon as the lights go up, right this way, and they would jump. And it just gave me a little, like, little glee to be like, aha, I got you. And I think also that's what people want from the mansion. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be in character as the maids and butlers.
I imagine that you do very well on moving sidewalks at airports.
Definitely. Also, never been skinnier.
It's like, what's your secret? Diet? This? You're like Haunted Mansion shift.
Haunted Mansion.
Katie, we're going to play Tweedledee or Tweedledum with you. I'm going to give you two options. You let me know very quickly which one you prefer.
Oh, gosh. I'm excited. Okay, cool.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Space Mountain or Thunder Mountain?
Thunder Mountain.
Really?
Yeah. True fact, I really don't like Space Mountain, mostly because I hate dark and I hate being not in control and I hate not seeing where I'm going. So Space Mountain and like makes me very claustrophobic and very, like, I respect it. I know that people love it, but for me, it's my worst nightmare.
I'm sorry for bringing that up.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay, Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Epcot or Animal Kingdom?
Epcot. World Showcase. It's all
like
about
World Showcase.
Oh, yeah.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, churros or Dole Whips?
Churros. I'm not into pineapple, so easy answer for me. And I love sugar. So.
Great. Katie, she hates pineapples, dark places, and not being in control.
Yep.
But she loves Epcot.
I do love Epcot, drinking around the world.
Katie, the next time you go to a Disney park, what's the first thing you're going to do?
I probably am going to go meet Mickey immediately and just give him a hug and cry.
Great. Funny, we still say I'm gonna go meet Mickey even though we've met him so many times. We get to say, like, I'm gonna go meet him.
It's true, but you're right. Re-meet. I'm gonna go say hi to my pal Mickey, who I've met several times.
What's funny is, like, anytime someone reaches out to me like, hey, I'm going to Disneyland, what do you think I should do, I usually respond, oh, I'll text Mickey and he'll reach out to you. And usually the response is, really? It's like, yes, totally. Well, Katie, thank you so much for your support for the podcast and Gilan is Fun. It means so much to me. So thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for creating this magic. It's brought spirit into my life.
For your chance to be included in an episode, please check out our website, www.eticketpodcast.com, to learn more. As you'll soon find out, I'm so excited for this episode's guest, as she was a Mouseketeer on the all-new Mickey Mouse Club, as well as The Party. She played Kim in Miss Saigon on Broadway and has also been seen in Wicked and If Then, in the movie Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, and is the voice of Pearl in Cartoon Network's Steven Universe.
please welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, Dee Dee Magno Hall. Dee Dee, this is such an honor. You have Disney in your blood. I've been such a fan of yours for so long. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Oh, David, thank you for asking me to be part of your podcast.
Of course. You know, I've known of you for most of my life. And then when I got to work with you on If Then, I was so happy to find out that you are a wonderful human being.
Aw,
that it all worked out.
Oh, I think you're pretty wonderful, too.
But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't on the Mickey Mouse Club.
You were with me in my in spirit.
I was. And I also did a lot of my own tapings of the Mickey Mouse Club in my family room.
Yes. Do you have copies of it on VHS?
You know, I must. It's got to be there somewhere. You know, we would do like the dun 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 dun. David. Dun 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 dun. My cat.
Yes. Dun, dun. I love it. I've got to see this now, David.
I know, I should find it.
Yeah.
And it's really going to make my career peak. So what's funny is as we record this, yesterday as we were getting ready, and now you are sharing with me a visual of your Mickey Mouse Club jacket, and it is the coolest thing ever.
Aww. It's definitely, I keep it, it's in my closet. I am literally in my closet right now.
It's great.
And I figured... It's just a visual for you, David. Nobody else can see this.
We're going to put it on the Instagram page.
Oh, yes.
Once this is you know, live. And you can see amazing jackets. But what is the coolest thing is zoom in on that picture because those are the party earrings. It is so awesome. How often do you wear your Mickey Mouse Club jacket grocery shopping or to the parks?
Well, you know, it gets chilly in Costco in the frozen section. Yeah. So I just like to bring it, put it in the cart, and then throw it on when I need it.
I think that's really wise and very magical.
I love that it still kind of fits me.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
And it's lasted all these years. You know, we just celebrated 31 years, 31 our 31st anniversary yesterday.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you ever have kids in the neighborhood, you know, friends of your kids saying like, we want to be a Mouseketeer for Halloween. Can we borrow your jacket?
No.
Yeah, you'd be like, absolutely not.
That's a big no. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
My niece, actually. So my parents were holding on to my Mickey Mouse Club paraphernalia for a long time because we were moving around. My husband and I, well, Clifton, you know Clifton. He was in If Then
yeah,
with us.
Yeah, of course.
So we were traveling a lot with different touring companies and such. So a lot of our stuff was in storage between storage in L.A. and then storage with my parents' house. And so my parents were holding on to my Mickey Mouse Club paraphernalia. And this jacket was hanging in my niece's closet for years.
Oh, wow.
And she was wearing it. And I finally just reclaimed it. I just like, I'm going to borrow this for a reunion that we're having. And then I never gave it back.
I hope one day they're all in the Smithsonian.
You know? Oh, my gosh. One day. Yeah, maybe.
Just like a huge exhibit. So I've shared this with you over the years, but we loved the party. And my sister is a middle school special education teacher. And every year on the last day of school, she plays Summer Vacation and calls
no
me.
No way.
And it's so funny because after I'd met you, I was like, it's Dee Dee.
Aww.
But we love it.
That's so sweet. Love it.
When you were cast on the Mickey Mouse Club, did you go back and watch reruns of the original?
Yeah, I actually did. I did a little bit of research, but just because we had also had a reunion show on the Mickey Mouse Club with a handful of the original cast members. But also growing up, I had the album of the 70s Mickey Mouse Club. So I grew up listening to that album, you know, the one that you play on the record player.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Those vinyls.
The vinyl.
So is it safe to say you came from a Disney family?
I think that it's safe to say that. I don't know that many families that didn't grow up on Disney. I mean, I grew up watching all of the Disney movies and always, you know, hoping that I could play a Disney princess someday, you know, and voice a cartoon character. So that's always been sort of a dream of mine. And then I grew up also watching Kids Incorporated. I know this is Disney.
Oh, yeah.
But I know you can bleep this out or whatever, you know. But I did watch the Kids Incorporated show and like was inspired by kids singing and dancing and performing on TV. And around that time is when I auditioned for the Mickey Mouse Club. And so when I got cast, I was living my best life. I was living my dream being on that show and getting to sing and act and dance for a living. You know, it wasn't even really a job. It was like I was having so much fun and sharing this moment with so many kids that shared that same dream. So it was such a blessing to be part of the Mickey Mouse Club. It's starting at such a young age, and then just over the years having it be that experience was a stepping stone to everything that kind of led to the rest of my career. So I'm so grateful that I was a part of that show.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Kids Incorporated, because in Michigan, you know, and maybe this is true across the country, it was Kids Incorporated at 5 and then the Mickey Mouse Club at 5:30. So like we would just watch the full hour, and it was awesome. I loved Kids Incorporated as well.
Yeah,
it was really great.
Fun fact: I went to junior high school with Mario Lopez.
Wow.
I know that was kind of just like, hey, Mario.
What was it like, you know, you're a kid, you're on the Mickey Mouse Club, you're, I believe, taping in Disney World, yeah?
Yes, it's currently Hollywood Studios now, but it used to be the MGM Studios.
Did you get to go into the parks on a break, on your days off?
Oh, all the time. So our schedule was from 9 to 12, we would have school on the lot. There was a trailer that was dedicated for just our school. We had on-location education teachers teaching us in the trailer for the allotted 3 hours in the morning. And then we would break for lunch, and then we would go into either rehearsals for music, dance, or skits, the acting skits. And then every other week it would be either rehearsals or taping the show. So the allotted time from 9 to 12 was supposed to be for school. And then if we needed to go and go on location and film some footage for the show, they would take us out of school. But whenever we weren't physically in either rehearsal or taping, they would stick us back in school to bank hours so that we could be able to miss a little bit here and there. But you know, on our bathroom breaks, we would sneak into the park and ride the movie ride, or go get a, you know, an ice cream or something like that, a churro.
I love that. A cool school experience.
It was the best.
Like, you'd had recess and like run around the Magic Kingdom.
That was our recess,
like, come
basically.
On. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, that sounds like an intense schedule. Did that prepare you for your time on Broadway shows?
I'm sure that it did. I, you know, that whole experience was such a great learning tool. I for television, film, stage, even, because, you know, we were doing take after take, especially if we were doing musical numbers. We had to get the different camera angles, and then we had, you know, audience participation. And so that was like the preparing me for live theater kind of thing. And then learning to know where my mark was and where the lighting was and which camera to look at, that was definitely preparing me for television and film. So it was such an amazing learning experience. I wish that I could have taken more pictures and videos, and, you know, we didn't have the iPhone back then, so I don't have as many memories as I think I would my kids have now, but I have them all in here in my head and my heart. But that's one of the reasons why I hope that, you know, some of the episodes would make it on Disney Plus, because that would be such a, it would be such a wonderful thing to share with my kids.
They must be released soon on Disney Plus. I think we can start that petition.
Yes, let's do that.
It was such a, you know, it came along the same time as Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin, this kind of renaissance of Disney. It's all part of it for me. As you know, I was born in the 80s, mm-hmm. and I just happened to be born into an age where Disney was really making a comeback, and MMC was such a huge part of that.
Oh, I love
it. It was so fun. We loved it.
It was a great experience for us, too.
You're part of MMC, and then comes along the party, which I only recently learned stands for Positive Attitude Reflecting Today's Youth.
Yes! Yes!
What?
Positive Attitude. Yes.
Reflecting today's youth.
That's why I was like, wait, I'm missing a letter.
I had no idea.
Positive Attitude Reflects Today's Youth. Yes.
Did you have to audition for that separately, or were you just asked to do it based on your work on the show?
I think it was more the company. Disney was formed Hollywood Records, which is the first record label funded by Disney. I shouldn't say funded, but, you know, created by Disney. And we were literally the first group to be signed to that label. At the time, they were sort of pitching ideas for songs, and all of the Mouseketeers were included in the meetings. And I think based off of some of the meetings, they kind of had an idea of who they wanted to have as the singing group. I think that they went more for the older kids. And then this is what I think. I don't know 100% for sure, but, a handful of the older kids, and then I think that maybe, you know, I also believe that Disney's always been so great about representation, and so we looked like a Benetton ad. I don't even know if a lot of people know what Benetton is these days, but that's definitely something that, and at the time, you know, growing up with these kids, it didn't even occur to me that we all looked so different. We were all just kids having a great time doing what we love, and then, you know, getting to share these gifts, these God-given gifts and these talents and things that we just loved to perform. And then having to, you know, being on a show together, that's basically what I associate my childhood with, is just this great experience of just a bunch of kids getting to do what we love to do. I think that's what it was, but I'm not 100% sure, like, you know, what they were, you know, how that all came about. But I was really happy that I got to be
part of the rock party. Yeah. Just like, you know, it was that thing for those of us that loved theater and maybe weren't listening to, you know, the pop hits. The party was our rock band.
Aww.
And it was so fun. So you spent a lot of time at Disney World as a kid, and I know now you're in California with Clifton and your kids. Do you go to the parks a lot?
Well, yes, and well, we haven't in a little while. My kids are getting bigger, but you know, I worked at Disneyland. I worked at California Adventure before I had kids, and I loved going to Disneyland. And I mean, I've always loved Disney, but going back to Disney, for me, it just like brings me back to my childhood. And so, of course, after working for Disney again and then having kids, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I get to share this with my kids. And so we did, you know, we also have friends that still work at Disney. And thankfully, one of my sons' godfather still works there. and his wife, and they, you know, it's a nice little perk to have family help you get into the park.
Yeah, yeah, of course, when you get, of course.
You know, although I'm like, wait, I'm a Mouseketeer, and I shouldn't I have like, you know.
I think you have to wear the jacket to the parks.
I think so. I think I need to wear the jacket and the ears and then say, excuse me.
Yes, you might remember summer vacation. Well, and that's what I want to talk about next is, you know, when Disney's Aladdin, a musical spectacular, I want to get the name right.
Yes.
When it opened, you were, you know, Jasmine. There
I
you are.
Jasmine, yes.
And it ran for 13 years. It was so incredible and so special.
Wow. 13 years.
How long did you do the show?
I was part of the very beginning. So I want to say that it was just under 3 years. Because after I did the show, I opened the show and then I did it for, oh gosh, David, I should have done my homework. I feel like it was under 3 or maybe even like 2, something around that time, because I got married during that time. And then I also got pregnant with my first child. And then I started to show. And when Jasmine... It yeah. starts to show, the story changes
yeah.
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, because the costume is not forgiving.
Right.
So, the director was watching in the audience one day and he was like, I think it's time for you to take a little break. So I had to step down from playing Jasmine, which that was such a fun time. To be able to play Princess Jasmine and then just see all of the kids in the audience light up with all of the spectacle of the show. And then we got to do some meet and greets after. And it was such a magical time.
Of course. It's really beautiful that Disney parks give so many kids their first introduction to musical theater. And that
yes.
for many of us that, I mean, this is the podcast, those of us that love Disney parks, often love Broadway. There's such a strong overlap, and I think it's so special.
Yes.
What was it like the first time you rode on that magic carpet over the audience?
Well, okay, so I don't know if I could divulge.
Whatever you can share.
Okay, well, you know, so there was a magic carpet on the stage, and then there was also a magic carpet that flew over the audience. Now, of course, there was a little bit of Disney magic that happens. But one day I had asked, because there were two casts. It started out with two casts, and then there were also understudies for the different characters. So one day I was not playing Jasmine. I had a couple of shows off. I asked if I could be the Jasmine that flew on the carpet over the audience. And so I had to go through some training because, you know, there's harnesses that need to be worn and safety, all the safety measures. So it was really one of the best rides in the park.
Yeah,
oh my goodness, it was so awesome.
Okay, so this, it wasn't Disney, but, and I know this because you've shared this with me, that you're sitting in a chair from a specific movie set from Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Yes.
Which we love. We love that movie. Are you triggered when someone says next to you, take off your robes? Does that trigger you in any way?
No, not at all. I'm always so delightfully surprised when somebody references something that I've done in the past, you know, because I've been doing primarily voiceover the past few years. And so I'm just starting to get back into television and film, which is something that I've always wanted to do also. But so when somebody says something like that and brings up my past, it just warms my heart. I'm like, really? You know that show? You know that movie?
Gosh.
Yeah.
Joyful. Just one of those moments of a movie where you just felt the spirit.
Yes.
It was so exciting.
Amen.
If I had the rights to that song, we'd start playing it now, but I don't have those rights. Now, as an adult, you spent time as a kid at Disney World, then when you were working at Aladdin, you know, what is it like to go there as a guest? Do you have any favorite things you have to do?
At Disney, so we've been to both. We've been to both Disney World and Disneyland. But if ever I go to either park, I have to ride the Pirates of the Caribbean. And is this your question? Am I answering your question?
Anything you want to say about your experience at the Disney parks is my question.
Okay.
Go for it.
We have to ride the Pirates of the Caribbean, no matter how long the ride, the line is. And I would love to do It's a Small World, but oftentimes the line is really, really long. We have to have a churro, and I have to find the ice cream bar, the Mickey Mouse ice cream bar.
Oh my gosh, exactly. Which, this is not a product placement, because I wish I was that fancy. You can buy those at Target now.
I know. Wait, are you talking about the ice cream sandwich?
My snack is the sandwich. I love that the Mickey Mouse ice cream sandwich.
Oh yeah, we like that one too.
But the bars, you can buy them now.
But in Orlando, when I was growing up, doing the Mouseketeer show, the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah. They call that now, the Mouseketeer show.
The Mouseketeer show. Whenever we went to the park, the ice cream was different. So it was like vanilla ice cream, and then just the hat part was chocolate, was the frozen chocolate part.
Oh, sure.
So now it's like the whole thing's covered in chocolate. Yeah. I kind of prefer the old one.
Okay.
I miss it. I'm gonna sign a petition to bring it back.
We have a lot of petitions going on from this podcast alone. You know, that's how you change the world. You let people know your passions and what you're excited about.
Right.
Would you say that Pirates is your favorite ride?
Pirates is definitely one of my favorites. Yeah. Oh, but Soaring Over California.
Oh, my gosh. So good. Have you been on Soaring Over the World?
Yes. I love them both.
I do, too. You know what's funny is there's such a demand for the original, but I love the new one.
I love them both.
Very specifically for the new one, I love that you get to see the Matterhorn. I also love that it ends at Disneyland, not during the holidays, because as someone that does not celebrate Christmas, in the original, it ends during Christmas time.
Right.
And the new one just ends on a wonderful day that's non-denominational. And so I love that. But again, that I remember the first time I went on that ride, it was so cool.
It's so cool. It is breathtaking.
It really is.
I also love all of the live shows. I love watching our friends performing. You know, we have so many friends that still work at the parks. And the live shows and the parades are also a highlight whenever I go. And it's always so much fun to like recognize a friend, or if they recognize you in the audience. And it's just so fun.
Same here. When I see the parade and I recognize my friend Mickey, I always wave at him and he always waves back. It's so nice.
I love that. Mickey, I love Mickey.
I'm with you, Dee Dee, though. The parades are one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. And I got to work guest control during the 50th anniversary summer.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we'd be out there like an hour before the parade would start, just making sure people were seated in the right place and, you know, giving all the rules. And every time I would see a kid dressed as one of their favorite characters, whether it was a princess or Peter Pan or Mickey, you'd always say, you know, I saw Cinderella backstage and she said she was so excited to see you. So she's going to definitely wave at you. So make sure to wave back. And the kid would light up. It was just those wonderful parade moments. Do you have a favorite parade from the parks?
Well, I have to say that when we went back to Orlando to celebrate the 30th year anniversary for the Mickey Mouse Club, we were invited to be part of a parade, and it was pretty exciting.
Of course.
And it was similar to a parade where they would celebrate like a team winning, like a sports team winning. Like they had like the guests line up and waved everybody, and they played the Mickey Mouse Club theme song while we did the parade. It was so cool.
Of course.
Oh, Phooey, we'll be right back. Oh, what's the big idea with these commercials? Oh, if this were my show.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, Dee Dee, are you ready for Fast Pass answers?
I don't know.
That's a perfect answer. So 30 seconds will begin after I ask the first question. Here we go. Dee Dee, what is your favorite Disney villain?
Oh my goodness. There's so many. Ursula.
Name another member of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Tiffany.
Name a character in Aladdin who's an animal.
Oh, Iago.
Favorite Broadway show.
Oh, goodness, Miss Saigon.
Name a song sung by the party.
Salute to Summer.
Time. That was really exciting.
Oh my goodness. I'm not 100% sure about my villain, my Disney villain.
Okay. What would you have said instead?
Oh gosh. I don't know. There's so many. What is there one that turned good?
That's a great question. I mean, probably not. I mean, like, definitely not the Evil Queen, mm-hmm. not Lady Tremaine. Not Monstro from Pinocchio. Captain Hook, I don't think is all bad.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely Jafar did not come back from that.
No, he didn't.
Not Gaston. Scar didn't.
Goodness.
This is a deep dive conversation.
I know it is a deep conversation, but that's one of the reasons why I love Wicked. And Wicked is nothing to do with Disney right now, but it's one of those things where you're like, oh, was she really evil? I don't know.
Or was evil thrust upon her?
Exactly.
Put on your thinking ears. It's trivia time. Oh, boy.
Dee Dee, here is your trivia question. And this is the most involved trivia question of anyone on this podcast.
Okay.
Just because it's kind of a five-part answer. So I'm not asking you, like, how tall is the castle?
Okay, because...
that's...
It's very tall.
It's very tall. Dee Dee, can you name the five themed days of the week from MMC?
Monday, music day. Tuesday, guest day. Wednesday, anything can happen day. Thursday, party day. And Friday, Hall of Fame day.
You are a winner.
Yay!
Well done.
Because people think Friday is party day, but actually party day was Thursday.
Totally. Did you have a favorite day of the week?
I was always interested to know who the guest was going to be for guest day, so that was fun. But I also loved party day because I think that was when we had music video day, when we played a music video.
So cool.
Now let's hear from some of you, huh?
Okay, Dee Dee, your fans on social media have spoken. They've got so many great questions for you. They're very excited. So first, Marco Crazy Taco, which is an amazing name.
Amazing name.
Asks, has Dee Dee ever been on Splash Mountain?
I have, and but for a long time I didn't, because the drops really scare me. Like I was for a long time, I wouldn't ride really big rides with drops because I was terrified of that sensation of your stomach just like going up into your brain.
But you love Pirates, which has those two drops.
They have like minimal drops. It's like the perfect amount of drop.
And you know, no one tells you about those other drops before the big one on Splash Mountain. They don't tell you oh, heads up, there's a few more.
Well, I think that's just to prepare you for the big one.
Yeah.
And it kind of comes out of nowhere. You're like, they're singing, it's happy. And then all of a sudden,
I'm like drenched.
Yes.
Galactic Music Girl asks, what's your favorite Disney song to sing?
Oh, a dream is a wish your heart makes. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Cinderella.
Yeah, it's a great song. ELOELOELO31 asks, what do you miss most about the MMC time of your life?
Oh, the people. You know, it was my childhood. I have so many wonderful memories being with those kids, all of the people that were working on the show, stemming from, you know, the producers and the directors and the writers and the music people and everybody, the choreographers, the staff, everybody that was that we were working with. They were all so wonderful to be around, such great energy, and the kids, they were my childhood buddies, you know. We did everything together. We lived in the same apartment complex. We all, like, ate together and swam together and played together and learned music and dancing and acting. You know, it was, we also actually had therapy together, you know. They provided a therapist because, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in your minds, and it's nice to talk it out so that we could keep a healthy, you know, mindset on set and behind the scenes. So I have a lot of really wonderful, fond memories of my time with the Mickey Mouse Club, and they all have to do with the people that we were surrounded by. So, and I'm still really good friends with a lot of them today, and so, you know, whenever we have little mini Mickey Mouse Club reunions, it brings me back to a really great time in my life.
Our next question comes from ANAIS.cliff, and they ask, who is your favorite Disney character and why?
maybe it was Lilo. Maybe it was Lilo.
I like Lilo.
I like Lilo. I like Lilo, and I mean not the throwing fits, you know, and running away from home Lilo, but just Lilo taking pictures of everybody and capturing like fun moments of human behavior. I like all of the Disney characters that see the good in people.
Yeah.
I might be, you know, not remembering the movie as much as I just the picture of Lilo just came to mind, and maybe because a lot of it was inspired by Hawaii, you know, and I love Hawaii. My husband grew up in Hawaii, so it brings me back to the islands. Maybe that's why, which is one of the reasons why I like Moana too. But,
I think Lilo is a great answer.
Okay.
And I do want to, as we're talking about him, a special shout out to Clifton for helping with the sound.
Oh,
making this
I know.
All happen.
My husband.
Did a great job.
Yes.
Okay, here's our last question from social media. Jaden RD asks, besides Jasmine, what Disney character would you want to play?
Who? Oh, my gosh. Mulan.
Yes. I love Mulan.
She's so kick butt.
Totally.
Yeah.
She's an amazing Disney character. Even though, of course, Disney didn't create her, but Disney shared with many more people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, I would also like to play Tinkerbell because she flies.
That is good. That's good. I'm sensing from when you play Jasmine, you really wanted to go on that magic carpet. Now here's you really want to fly.
I think a lot of people would like to fly.
It's time for some tough choices. Let's play Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
So Didi, here is Tweedledee or Tweedledum. I'm going to give you two options and let me know which one you prefer.
Okay.
The first one's going to be tough.
Uh-oh.
Disneyland or Disney World? I know.
That is tough. There's something about either of them or both of them that I love, so I can't choose.
Okay, that's fair.
They both hold a special place in my heart.
Yeah. Okay, this next one is closely related to one of your trivia questions. Music day or party day?
Oh, well, if I was correct in saying that party day we had a music video, then it would have the best of both worlds for me. So I would say party day.
Okay, now we're going to get old school. Minnie Mouse or Daisy Duck?
Oh, Minnie Mouse.
Yeah. You know, like the new Mickey Mouse cartoons, Daisy and Donald have gotten a little more aggressive than I was used to seeing as a kid. I'm showing them to my nephew and they had an episode about them fighting. And I was like, I don't remember this.
Oh, yeah. Minnie's more, you know, she's more seen the positive side of everything.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Fantasyland or Tomorrowland?
Fantasyland.
That's sweet. Didi, what's the first thing you're going to do the next time you go to the parks?
Have a churro.
Yeah. It's like 8 a.m. Who's that woman in the Mouseketeer jacket eating a churro? That's Didi. She's fine. She's cool.
Yeah, grab some snacks probably. But I also love, I just love walking through, walking down Main Street, you know, and looking at the castle. I take way too many pictures. I think just in general, I take way too many pictures. I think that I would just want to put my phone away and just take it all in, you know, and take mental pictures more. But I basically let my kids decide what we do when we go to the park. So they each get a map and then they pick where they want to go. And then depending on time and how long the lines are, you know, we'll try to do something fun for each kid. And then, of course, you know, squeeze in the things that we want to do, like grab a churro or an ice cream.
Yeah, like grab a churro. That's great. Didi, is there anything else you want to share?
Other than my love for you, David.
Oh, my gosh. That. You can't say that. Not with your Mouseketeer jacket in the background.
Why?
Should we end our podcast with a little song?
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company, MIC.
See you real soon.
KEY.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E. Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C-K-E-Y. M-O-U-S-E. A Mickey Mouse, rock the house. A Mickey Mouse, rock the house. You're not singing with me.
I can't. I think it's just incredible. Though I definitely guess question, is it why because we like you or why because we love you? It's like you.
I think it's like you, but
it's like you.
But we do love you.
Oh. They just weren't quite that ready to commit. But
I think
they
didn't want to pressure anybody to say the word love, you know.
Yeah,
even though love is all around.
It's true.
You know.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Didi, for your time and your stories.
Oh,
this was
gosh.
So great.
Of course. course. Thank you. Anytime, David.
See you at the parks.
Mwah, love you. Take care.
Oh, that was a fun interview.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.